You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, after last week's attack in London, I spoke to University of Auckland's Dr. Chris Wilson about the parameters of terrorism. I began by asking what exactly constitutes a terror attack.
A terror attack is use of violence with a political goal in mind, trying to instill terror and send a much wider audience a message with that political goal in mind.
Right, and so when did that kind of concept first emerge?
It's really terrorism as an industry, as an academic topic, has emerged since the 70s and 80s in those terms that I've just mentioned. But obviously the concept has been around a lot longer, going back, you know, back 100 years. First, the word terror was first used during the French Revolution, and then was used also to refer to the anarchists and to use of violence for political goals in that sense. But really it's sort of coalesced around the definition that I mentioned just over the last 30, 40 years.
And so what role do you think that race and religion play in the kind of media framing of terrorism?
A great deal. I mean, just in specific terms, at the moment I'm reasonably perplexed at the, as terrible as it was, the attacks in Westminster have received a great deal of attention, and so they should. But on the other side of the Atlantic, in New York City, a black man was stabbed to death by a far-right extremist around the same time, which has received very little coverage. And this was a hate crime, is being upgraded by the police to a hate crime from a murder, and so is considered political terrorism as well, sending a broader message to a much larger community. So I think, particularly in terms of the media and the coverage that the media gives to these crimes, it plays a great deal in terms of which group is carrying it out and who the victims are.
And after an attack like this as well, a lot of kind of Islamophobic anti-Muslim sentiment is amplified. We saw after 9/11, after any attack like this. Can you talk about this pattern and its effects?
So, I agree. This does have repercussions in terms of widening the cleavage between Muslims and non-Muslims, and it does lead to Islamophobia, and the consequences of that are, you know, they're grave. They're incredibly bad for social cohesion in Western societies, which of course is the very goal of the most extreme radicals, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, for example, as written in manifestos like the Management of Savagery. The whole idea of small group and directed attacks in the West is to break down social cohesion and to lead to chaos and to break down the close-knit development of cohesion between Muslims and non-Muslims in the West. So the more people respond in those ways and allow Islamophobia to develop, the more damage that's being doing is being done, and the more people are acting and doing exactly what ISIS wants.
Yeah, and you mentioned that New York City stabbing before as well, and so I believe that the perpetrator of that came and handed himself in and said, "These were my motivations. Race was the major motivation for that." I think he travelled to New York City as well, specifically commit that crime. How then? I think a lot of the time when that happens, and it hasn't got like ISIS, or it's not a Muslim perpetrator, it's not necessarily immediately referred to as terrorism, and it's not kind of talked about as someone who is radicalised. It's more talked about as a lone wolf mental health kind of thing. Why is that?
It goes to the portrayal of these type of crimes. There is a great deal. ISIS obviously gets a great deal of attention, but there are also some very well established, long standing far right networks and organisations in the United States that are influencing people, whether they are self radicalising over the internet or through face to face or online communication. So the processes of radicalisation are very similar. So why they're presented in differently is, again, I guess it comes down to these biases, bias within the media, within even institutions within the discourse of how we think about terrorism and how we think about world events at the moment, how we think about the greatest threats to society. So, and I mean, it's a really good question, because these are things that really do need to change if we are going to respond effectively to all of these crimes. Because at the same time, the radicalisation is happening at both. I guess if we think about it in terms of poles and this sort of breakdown of cohesion I was talking about before, we've got extremists at both ends, so really both need to be dealt with in the same way, and that, I guess, that is by strengthening the centre rather than allowing society to be polarised. And so that portrayal and that recognition that there are institutions, there is discourse, there is the whole perspective of the way they are portrayed is all part of that, I think.
It's fucked.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.